Patrick.
Yes, sir.
I was telling the boys today that I thought, I was telling people prior to Thursday night's Wild game that that was the most important game in franchise history. And by that I meant, as of Thursday night, I thought they were a good enough team to win a Stanley Cup. But to win the Cup, you got to get there. And I couldn't see, I just saw that they could not lose a game to Vegas at home. And, of course, then they lost both. So
it's an amazing what has happened in hockey. I would say almost the last decade. Home, remember the sacred home ice, if we only had home ice, remember how sacred that used to be?
Yep.
It's meaningless. It means nothing. The Wild are 2-10 their last 12 home playoff games. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. Now, if you come out and get two quick ones, although they did that Thursday and then
almost had three quick ones.
Went and tank. He was offside.
No,
okay?
I'm saying they were close to having three.
I mean, everybody,
quick ones.
I saw that somebody said it was deemed to be offsides. Well, it was deemed to be offsides because he was offsides. Okay.
Right.
So.
I'm a conspiracy guy.
You know, yeah. So.
They anyway. Should have never changed their jerseys. When the home team went to the dark jersey, it was over.
Whatever the hell it is, whatever it is, there's last. I watched more of the Wild. I didn't check in until the middle of the second period. Right?
Yep.
They were horrible. They were skating. Vegas was skating the puck out of their own end, passing the puck out of their own end. Like it was Edina versus Fulda in hockey. I mean, it was unbelievable. What the hell was going on? I've never seen a team have an easier time getting the puck out of the net. We needed a little neutral zone trap there, although when you get behind, you can't do that. But it was terrible. And then, you know, it kind of carried over to some extent. I mean, they ended up getting a bunch of shots on Saturday night, but... I don't know. You've given up the last nine. That isn't good.
And the killer, the thrill, or Kaprizov, whatever his name is, he really hasn't had a bad series.
Are they? They must be making his life miserable.
Oh yeah, he's getting mugged. Yeah.
They are. They are crowding him.
Yep.
You know who my new favorite hockey player is? Mark Stone.
I was just going to guess him.
Oh,
yeah.
He's a rock steady guy.
Have you seen him up close?
Yeah, he's a big boy.
You look at him and say, there's a hockey player.
Yep.
He's got the bent nose. He's got the miskept, unkept hair. A little bit of a playoff beard. He looks, you know, you walk into the post office and look at him up there, you're going to run for cover, man. That is a hockey player right there.
Somebody, I forget who put this out on Twitter, but during the game on Saturday night said, it had the, you know, the close-up of Mark Stone and said, oh my God, Kenny Powers decided to play hockey.
Yes, it does. I was so impressed, I took a shot of him on the screen when they were interviewing him on Zoom, because he was like this, you know. Like, man, it's, I mean, they make it tough for you. It's
they
funny.
Have a nice club. They have a great club.
5 years ago when they went to the finals, weren't they a skating, goal-scoring type of team? Boy, have they changed their brand here.
That's not 5 years ago. Is
4 years? Well, maybe
2018?
Four.
2018?
Okay, that's 4 years. I guess seasons, okay. But they, you know, they went to the Cup 1 year and fired the coach the next year, in the Gerard Gallant, in the middle of the year, and they brought in this well-traveled Peter DeBoer, but they changed their approach. You know, they're, you know, good goaltending and beat the hell out of people.
But he has to make a mistake. He doesn't make mistakes.
Doesn't make any.
Well,
that goalie equipment's too big.
Well, it's just like the 1980 Olympic team. Hot goalie.
Yeah, right. But the you know, that there were rumors that Guerin was going to try to trade for him, that he might be on the block, Fleury, because they have another goalie that they like a lot, a younger guy who's much cheaper. And but I guess they wanted too much for him, and then he went and had a fantastic year. So
well, plus Fleury's getting old now. He's 40 years old, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he's that old. Well, is he 35 or 6, maybe? 35 or 6?
I'll bet he's older than 35.
You know what, though?
I think he's 39.
Can't be that old.
Well, Rook will find it.
Yes, he
Rook will.
Find Rookie.
It.
All you got to do is go to Wiki. All you got to do is look at Wiki.
36.
36.
He's
okay.
36.
36.
Well, but he's number 29 on the team.
That's right.
Well, I don't care about
oh, okay.
that.
Got it.
I don't care
got
about
it.
That. You know, whatever happened to the idea that goalies were either 30 or 1? What happened to that?
I don't know.
Well, I see that he was born in Sorel, Tracy, Quebec, Canada. And apparently, I didn't see this, but on his... He had a horseshoe up his hind end, and that must be that must explain all the goal.
I never watched him. The only one that I thought was a little weird was when they were trying that last gasp on Thursday, and he almost threw the puck in the net by catching it behind his back. It was that was a weird play. But
he's been given some of the shots a little too much theater for me.
Oh yeah. Yes. Well, anyway, he's you know, the fact that they're playing at Las Vegas tonight, though, means nothing.
I mean,
it's you can win there, but you're going to have to play a lot better. Yeah. Apparently, I just heard Judd saying that they're one of their defensemen, Susie's out, and they're going to try that Addison kid tonight. But I want him to play Boldy, the rookie from BC, because if he scores a goal... That would change the whole... If he would go out and get your goal, that would change the whole vibe, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so, too.
And, but they're not going to play him, I guess.
Fleury made his debut in 2003. Wow.
There's been some goalies who hung around a long time.
Was he with the Duck?
No, he's with the Pen.
Pens for a long time.
Oh,
didn't he win
right.
a couple of... Win at least a couple of cups with the Pens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they took him... He's in the expansion draft, right? Fleury, I think they got him. Vegas took him in the expansion draft, which was a bit of a controversy, I think. So
he married longtime girlfriend Véronique Larose in 2012. They've been dating since they were 15 years old.
Well,
she did one of these. Like, let's go here.
Yep, here we go. Come on now. Daughters Estelle and Scarlett, and a son James.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, is Phil Mickelson the favorite now to win at Torrey Pines in the U.S. Open?
He won't make the cut.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Make the cut.
That's his home course.
He won't make the cut.
We have to have a bet about that.
He used up all his... He'll start hitting it crooked again. He managed to keep it straight. Listen, he made five or six really good shots, I'll say, and that when he... Knocked it in from the bunker, and then he killed some drives. Kept it pretty much in fair territory. I'll give him credit for that. But the fact nobody was chasing him really helped.
Well, he only won by two.
Nobody was chasing him.
Yeah.
Koepka played like a mutt. Koepka was terrible. He shot 74, but Koepka comes out. He makes birdie on number one. Phil makes bogey. Phil had the old Fizzo on number one. Fudge, I'm still out, you know, on his putt. He kept, you know, the old...
I've never heard that before.
Fizzo.
I always pronounce it Fizzo.
Fizzo. He had that on the first hole. And you're saying, well, he's going to shoot 80. And then the second hole, easiest hole in the course, it played to 4.5 yesterday. More as many guys made birdie as didn't, and Koepka goes and makes 7 for no reason, just idiocy.
I did love his post game comment though when he said, "I'm going to enjoy it because this is probably the last one."
Yeah, Phil. Well,
he went up 32 points or through rankings.
Yeah,
and so he was at 115.
Yeah, right. Joe, this meditation stuff though that he's doing, he is so full of.
He's not meditating, Pat. He's imagining the shot.
But he's also meditating. He's slowing down, and he's meditating. And he knows damn well the TV cameras are on him, so he's playing it for all it's worth.
He's
look at Phil's concentration. Oh, look at him. Isn't he concentrating?
Get him a yoga mat.
Pat, in all our time together, has never failed to amaze me. Here's a 50 year, soon to be 51.
It was fantastic.
Set a record. Oldest man in history yes. to win a major. And Pat has done nothing but rip the hell out of him.
No, I said he made some great shots. It's amazing.
He made six good shots.
It's amazing how limber he is at that age, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
That shows you, being a little fat helps. He keeps you limber.
That's right.
Although he's in good shape now by his enormous standards.
What's all that
but
meditating?
Joe, right, he has right. never failed to have some new line of BS when
no,
he
I know.
Shows up at a tournament. Why are you carrying two drivers, Phil?
Yeah.
Oh, this is I got this driver for that and that driver for this. Remember when he had an explanation while his fat wasn't really fat?
Yep.
He had some word about it was subnucleus fat or some yeah. damn thing.
I thoracic mean, outlet. It
he
was.
Loves to babble and babble and babble about that stuff so you don't ask him real questions, you know. That's
My favorite line about Noah is still Faraday's quote. Watching Mickelson play is like watching a drunk walking along the edge of a cliff.
Yes, but not yesterday.
Yeah, not during this tournament.
Not
no.
that whole tournament. And I heard somebody said yesterday on TV, they asked Jason Day, who's playing terrible right now, but what do you think of Phil? He said, what's going on with Phil? He says, he's not hitting any foul balls.
Right.
Yeah.
He said, you know, the reason he hasn't been able to compete is three times a round he hits it where you're lucky to find it off
right.
the tee, and all of a sudden he was drilling it on a really, what do you think of that golf course?
I've played it, believe it or not.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well,
obviously, I didn't do well.
From how many yards?
Oh, God. 62, I mean,
63
yeah,
yards,
sure,
something like that.
Sure, yeah.
I was going to ask, because I know that at the height of my skills, and you put me at 6,200, I wouldn't break 200. Because every shot would end up in some place where it was unplayed.
Right.
If you counted them, there's no way.
Well, then add the wind to that.
Yes, right. Throw in, was it windy the day you played?
Oh, God, yes. I think so.
Yeah. That was your excuse anyway, huh?
But, you know, it is funny. It's built like a Scottish course, though, in the fact that the holes, basically, you got nine holes going one direction and nine holes going the other direction.
Well, wouldn't it be technically a legitimate links course?
God, yes, it is. It's absolutely a links course. And how many trees are on there? About 12 or something.
About three.
Like that. Yeah. Well, it is probably the trickiest golf course in this country, though, as far as a big time golf course is concerned.
It kind of reminds me of Whistling Straits a little bit.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the difference is Whistling Straits, they created the land. You know, it's artificial. They created.
That's true.
And this is just, I mean, what's the sea level? 4 inches,
right.
You know. I mean, it's like it's flat. It's the same level as the sea. I wonder how often they get. I can't remember them getting hit by a hurricane. Can you?
No, you would think it would just get washed over.
Oh
with
God,
water.
Yeah, you'd think it'd blow it away. But it is. How about 17? You played 17, that par 3. I wonder how far. You must have been over on a left, so you didn't have to carry that whole water. Huh?
No.
Because, God almighty, that shot. It's amazing. You know, they say this is only 195 yards, right? Okay, whatever it is. But then you see it from the tee box, and you realize that's two football fields.
Right.
I'm trying to hit this from two football fields away. How do I do that? You know, it was entertaining. I watched a lot of it. How long that round take? It had to be over 5 hours, right?
Well, he went off at 1:30 our time.
Mm-hmm.
Mickelson went off at 1:30 our time.
It was damn near
he was
seven.
Still playing at
seven, right?
Yeah, he was still playing at least 5 o'clock.
That's going to be the fun of this year's Open, U.S. Open. We'll get prime
West
time
Coast,
golf,
baby.
Yeah. No, he's it is. I mean, his last two wins were on this with the seniors. He was playing with the seniors.
Yep.
And he was 2 for 2 playing with the seniors.
Let me ask you.
A nice payday, too. It was $2 million for
$2 million,
the winner.
Yeah,
wow.
$2 million, yeah.
Why would he play with the seniors? Isn't he a guy that would probably say, I've made enough
money? Well, he wasn't playing any good. Oh, well, I don't know. I suppose he probably owes favors to some guys.
Okay.
I mean, he's probably got some buddies, you know, probably gambled with them in Vegas, you know. He's a, oh, he was an insane gambler right. at one time.
We didn't see the wife and the kids.
No. Well, his kids are a little old. They aren't cute anymore.
Wasn't she having
I mean, I'm sure they're
too?
Gorgeous, but I mean, they aren't, right, yeah. you know, they aren't like four-year-olds.
They aren't toddlers.
Because I, of course, accused him of renting children because they never got any bigger. When he'd win, they'd, hey.
It's like the Simpsons. They just stay the same age.
These are the same ones that ran out 3 years ago, and they're no taller. What happened? You know? But he is one of the five greatest players of all time. I'd put him in that category now, wouldn't you, after this one?
Oh, yes. Oh,
him
God,
and
yes.
Tiger, and then we go Jack, and then I don't know who else. I'm not sure Arnie belongs in there.
Ben Hogan.
Hogan.
Speaking of Koepka, is he liked on the course?
I don't know. I haven't covered big-time golf since he became prominent, so I don't know what is. But he was a little miffed that they let the – who thought it was a good idea – to let 20,000 white people who are drunk on the golf course and make Koepka fight through them.
Well, that's why I was asking.
He said his knee got all banged up from people bouncing into him and stuff, and he was really upset.
Mm. I listened to most of it on satellite. Well, I got the entire back nine on TV, but I didn't miss a shot all weekend because of satellite radio. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember who the commentators were. Gary McCord was among them. But they had some good thoughts. They said, the thing about Koepka is he's not relatable. Phil Mickelson's like a guy you know at your own course, where someday he's going to be great and someday he's going to be stink, and you can relate to him. Koepka, they said, he has no interest in the regular tour.
No. Yeah, right.
He's won more majors than he. I think he's got two tour victories.
Didn't he play out here for the first time at Hollis's tournament and maybe missed the cut and left?
But you can't relate to him. He's a weird dude.
He is. And he's Bluto, too. And by the way, I think that that physical build of him, he's going to have issues. He's going to. That's not a golf physique right there. I mean, that's a weightlifter physique.
Well, what do you say about DeChambeau then?
Well, because I think DeChambeau might, you know, destroy himself too. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I can't stand to watch him play. It makes me nervous.
Me too.
Because everything's stiff. Oh, everything's God. Like, your whole life you're taught, you know.
Loose.
You're taught, come on, you know, be loose. Yep. You don't want to be too tight.
No,
you
don't want to be too tight. I can't be too tight. These golfers are too tight now.
He even putts tight. He never got. They never gave him much attention yesterday, though. I guess he got to two, but that was about it. He made a double right off the bat, hit it someplace. I know.
I'm kind of tired of watching him hit a wedge 200 yards.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not golf. No. I don't know what it is.
How do they do that?
He and Koepka hit 196 yard wedges on Thursday.
Believe that.
Wow. Now that might have been wind aided. I don't know, but that's what the hell is that?
Well,
I can't hit a drive that far.
God love Phil. I mean, and he's got an unbelievable whack at it for his age. But should he be hitting drives 365?
I don't get it.
36 or 50, 356 or whatever it was. Yeah. Come on.
Joe, I think you need to start visualizing that and kind of just see yourself doing the 200-yard wedge shot.
What are your when you next time you go and play with some of your buddies, you got to start giving them that on the –
You got to start giving him that meditation on the tee box. Hang on, guys.
Please, don't interrupt me. Don't interrupt me right now.
Pretend like you're imagining the shot.
Yeah. I heard this works for Phil.
Well, who's the Texan who won an Open? Not Crenshaw. He's now a commentator. Help me.
Famous.
His name escapes me. He's probably in his 40s.
God. Okay. Won an Open? Not Andy Norah. No, he's a Wisconsiner. So
North won two tournaments in his life,
U.S. Opens. Yeah.
My point about the Texan guy is that size guy's never going to win again. I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know who I mean. Rookie, you're looking up British Open winners.
Rookie
give me the '90s.
Okay, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
British Open winners.
Jeez,
he needs it a minute ago, Rook. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I should have.
He'll get
meditated.
You some scores from Bogota. Don't worry about it. You'll get the B in there, and it'll be Bogota. But it would be.
I'll look it up.
No, Rook's on it.
Hey, when you went down there and played Kauai, where else you play?
That was it, because it was basically a trip to hang around Charleston.
Oh, so we only got one round. Out, so you slipped out for only one. Yeah, so. Yeah. I've been to that Charleston.
It's a nice town.
They got good fish.
Yep.
They got the good seafood.
When you're that close to that big thing
of
water.
That's right. Yeah. And you got the good fish there. That's
all right, here we go. David Duvall, Tiger Woods, Paul Lowry, Mark O'Meara, Justin Leonard, Tom.
Justin Leonard's who I was thinking of.
And God, I got a good idea. I'm on TV. Let's take the most boring golfer in history, Justin Leonard, and put him on TV.
There we go.
What? He gave Boras a bad name, you know? and now he's on TV and never says anything.
Well, doesn't that surprise you? Because who was the other one, the baseball guy that you always gripe about that every time? The manager, Showalter.
Well, no, he's gotten better.
Wasn't he just a complete dink to the media?
Oh, yeah, he was.
Pat, in 2000, another guy that would never win today, Corey Pavin wins at Shinnecock.
Oh, yeah.
In the U.S. And remember his famous shot on 18?
Was a four-wood, right?
Was a fairway wood.
Yes, right.
These guys would have been, today would be hitting 9 irons, yes, whatever that distance was.
Yeah, he hit the four. Oh, wow. Poor Corey Pavin. He hit it, you know, at the end, he might have been hitting 240, 250, you know, but he wasn't. Yeah, it is incredible. That's why you have to admire this golf course, I guess, is even though they've taken away all the yardage. I mean, they're playing it at 7,800.
Right.
But even though the yardage means nothing, they still can screw up. And if you can get those greens hard enough so the ball bounces and rolls off the back, then you can still make them make bogeys and double bogeys and triple bogeys. But the plain old golf course, you know, Wingfoot, we saw last year, one of the great tests of golf ever is now antiquated.
Because
the rough doesn't make any difference, because DeChambeau is hitting a gap wedge or a pitching wedge to get home. So he can get it out of the rough no matter how high it is. So it's you know, a lot of them are going to be obsolete, and I don't know what you're going to do about it. So it's kind of like... kind of like baseball. By the way, I heard something. We can switch the topic to baseball.
Sure.
I told somebody else this today, though. I have become a no-shifter.
Well, you don't want the shift?
I heard a stat on MLB Network the other day. They got, you know, they do every analytics, some of these sites, not Fangraphs, but this is one beyond Fangraphs.
Wow.
At this point, this was like Friday morning, there'd been 400 shift-created hits, right?
Mm-hmm.
That were hits because they were in the shift, and there'd been 1,050 that were taken away.
Wow.
So, and if you added those 600 hits, the league batting average would be 251 instead of 238. And, you know, or 236 or whatever the hell it is. And I've become a no-shifter because you got to
me the shift works.
The shift works, and it steals too many. It kills left-handed hitters. Just absolutely. They got to get that guy out of right center field, throwing out people, and, you know. And so I think they're going to, you know, they use... Football, you can have an illegal defense. And basketball, you can have an illegal defense. Why not have a legal defense? You know?
And I just can't comprehend. You and I talked about this last week. But Max Kepler, there's not one person ever on the left side of the infield. Max, look at how many hits you're missing out on. Just simply, it's stubbornness, but they've also just been told... Keep pulling the ball. Launch angle. But my God, there's how many hits a year, Pat, just to the opposite field that are sitting there waiting for him?
The only thing worse than the shift for baseball is the MRI machine. I've said that.
Right.
You know what? I've decided, Joe, I probably said this before. We saw guys that pulled up and then played the next day and the next and the next day. Because they didn't test them. They said, I'm sore. Well, okay, you know, run a little slower or something.
Go get them.
You know, go get them.
See you tomorrow.
And, you know, diagnosis is ruining the game right now.
That and the names of things.
Yes,
things have names
yes,
now.
That's what I'm saying. They give them names. The subgluteus maximus,
gluteus.
I remember exactly which one put you over the edge when Perky got diagnosed with thoracic outlet syndrome.
Outlet syndrome.
You
which is
went
now
absolutely berserk.
Now, he got a bad shoulder. Okay. But, yeah.
What caused Sano to come out of his coma one night? And then go back into it, apparently.
Yes, right. Well, I don't, you know, he got a nice little cutter inside and hit it down a left field line. And then he stayed on a fastball right in the middle of the plate and killed it to center field. And then there was another one that was kind of in the middle and he hit it out to right field. And he just thought, finally! And then the first game in Cleveland, he hit a straightaway center field homer, and then he started striking out again. So
yeah, started thinking about it,
but or not thinking about
not
it.
Thinking
one of the
about
two,
it, yeah.
one of the two, which
not
is
trouble
which is,
with not,
which is more likely.
I'm gonna go with not.
But I think that this would be a good time to see if there's a market, just because. Long term, you want Kirilloff to play first base, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That you got your first baseman. He's not much of an outfielder. He's a good first baseman, and
he's a hell of a hitter.
And if somebody will give you a usable pitcher for Miguel, make the trade. Miami or somebody. They need some clout, and there's some teams that will. You know, it's not that I'm saying that he's useless, but I think. You can make a little, you can get some value for him trading.
Speaking of Miami, did you see Donnie Baseball's little video Zoom thing at the end of, I think, their Saturday game?
Was he not upset? Was he upset?
He was, he said everything perfectly of what I hate about the modern game.
Okay. Who is Donnie Baseball?
Oh, Don Mattingly,
manager of the Marlins.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. But he was asked about the number of no hitters currently in baseball, and it was perfect.
I didn't look at it. I saw it on there.
Oh,
you know,
Pat, you have to watch it. It was great. It was absolutely great. And I think he's about the only manager that would just step across the line and say, "I don't give a damn." You know, like go ahead and yell at me and rip me, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah,
because he's correct.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Judd and I were talking today, Joe, and you go back, obviously. If somebody pitched a no-hitter, they ripped up the front page of the sports sections.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They said, oh, God, you know.
They were a big deal.
You know, Billy Lopes, Billy Place or somebody.
How about Jeff Zahn? Give Jeff Zahn.
Somebody had a no-hitter. We had to put it out front, man. Now now it doesn't even lead the roundup sometimes. If it's not, it doesn't even get the headline. There's been six of them, and that doesn't count Bumgarner's, right?
Yeah, because it was an official game.
Yeah, seven games. Even though it is an official game. It's in the standing as an official game, so.
You got the hated Baltimores in here tonight. They both both clubs have the same record.
Yes, the worst in the major leagues. Yes,
I have Donnie. Do you want a minute of it?
Oh, sure. No profanities.
No,
right?
No.
Not Bernsie like.
No, not like Bernsie.
Oh, absolutely. If a guy throws a no-no, it's great for us.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at talking about it more in the – you asked me, but I thought about him.
Yeah.
He's no hitters. I think in general in the game, I think that's really more of the talk is that – you know, where does this get better? Because it's great for your team when a guy throws a no-no. It's great for that guy. It's a great accomplishment, right? Mm-hmm. But when there's so many, so early, you know, strikeouts are at an all-time high, things like that. So it tells you that there are some issues within the game that need to be addressed. And they're going to take a while because this started 15, 16 years ago with the you know, the swing changes and the philosophy changes with all the, you know, the analytics of the three-run homer and all that stuff. And so it's been coming and it's been building. And now we're at a point where it's getting so much more attention because it's just a game that sometimes is unwatchable. You know, you see guys you talk to and they don't even like watching games because there's nothing that goes on in them.
Wow.
I told you it was good.
That was pretty good.
But what manager, A, would do that, say that, but B, get away with it? Because Donnie's old school, you know what I mean?
And Miami, he's right. They're not watching. So every time I hear him mention, though, I remember that home run off RD in Yankee Stadium. That was the year when it was really going bad for RD, mm-hmm. and he came in, and God knows how big the lead was, but Mattingly finally he gets down, he needs one out, and they're about two runs ahead, and Mattingly hits a three runner, and I think that was on a Wednesday, and that was it. The fans were gonna lynch him, you know, and that's when Doug Groh went up and he took all these kids fishing up the Trout Air on Thursday. And Groh wrote a column on RD taking these kids fishing on to Trout Air. And it appeared on Friday morning. And I basically said, "You saved his life." Because they gave him a round of applause. It lasted about 10 minutes because he came in and puked up another one. But
you should have written in, "No kid caught a fish."
That's right. Or just say, "We will not report on the results." Of this, you know, something like that. God, was he a goofball.
Throw in the Davis, man.
That was one of our all-time great toads. Somewhere that's floating around, right?
That's sitting in a box somewhere.
Yeah.
But the great part was when he was talking about, was it Gorbachev at that time?
Yeah.
He's doing Mr. Bodibuzzi, throw in the Davis.
International relations.
Oh, God, what a screwball. You know what a screwball he was? He ended up owning a bait and fishing store in Scottsdale.
There's no water here.
Right. Yeah, desert.
That would be to me.
That's like a snowmobile store in Miami.
Yes. That's what I said. I talked to him. I said, "RD, what you doing? You're selling fishing equipment in Scottsdale. You know, well, the mountains aren't that far away, you know." So.
Mountains?
Yeah.
Mountains.
Let's run up to that mountain and catch a fish.
What a relaxing day on the mountain.
There's a, you know, he ran a fishing store.
God, you know what's a great moment in life?
What?
When the drops they put in your eyes in the morning finally go away and you can see again.
Is that right?
I'm just having that moment right now.
Really? What's wrong with your eyes, man?
I just had to do my annual eye doctor thing, and they dilate your eyes, and now I can see again.
So
you've never worn glasses.
No, that's true. I wear the readers now. Yeah, but yeah.
So yeah. This morning you had the bad peepers, but now you got the good peepers.
Well, I can see. Yeah, I can see brightness. I mean, I can tolerate looking out the window.
Sight's a good deal.
Yeah, it is.
Even though, if you're born unsighted, you really become a good voice imitator. Don Vogel proved that.
God,
yeah,
God.
I mean, it really, because it that's a very important sense to you. Then
yep. That's right.
If you don't have sight. It's good to have ears.
Yes,
you really rely on your ears a lot.
I'm saying that, and then you get every inflection.
Howard was just so spot on.
I was telling the Cubs hat story the other day to my old man. He was just howling, man.
Don, we got an ad for you.
We got a new hat for you.
Here, Don, this is really good. And
went to the bank.
Time we put him on the VeriSpeed machine and damn near killed him.
It was like
an early version of
the towel. Like you stood on a scale and it would shake.
It was kind of, Don,
step up.
Come on, get up here. We got him. I got him on the VeriSpeed.
Damn near went through the ceiling.
Oh God, almighty. Don eating steak at Murray's is still one of my favorite events.
I miss that one.
Drinking martinis as fast as a human being could drink them, and then eating the steak with his hands. It was great.
Oh, God.
And then me taking him home and him not. We both realized neither of us knew where he lived.
What does the house look like, Don?
I don't know.
I've never seen it.
I think it might be white.
Yeah.
What's that? It's Highland Parkway, which was right right next to where you live, Joe. Right?
It was Highland Parkway and
I didn't live next
in
to
your
there.
Little house. I mean,
yeah, that was over on
Shepherd. Yeah, that was two blocks away, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was right by.
It was a little house.
Little starter house.
It was a starter house. Yeah, I'm still in a starter house, so that's might
well,
be
it's because you haven't found that nice gay couple to buy that place for me. Isn't that where you wanted to sell it to?
You're damn right. That's the only place I'm advertising as the advocate or something.
Yeah. As Marjorie once inquired, what are the current situation, Joe? What's going on at the homestead, huh?
I don't want to talk to you about that, Marjorie. Really, none of your
business. Oh, yeah, and I heard you did this. I heard you did that.
I believe the correct verbiage was, I remember CJ wrote that nice column on your house.
Is that what she said?
Yes. Oh, God help me.
Yes. Yes. It was just, and we're all in
shock. Is Marjorie still with us?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100 years old, 101, I think.
Holy cow.
Because we were going to start the campaign, weren't we, for her and Sid to join forces?
In fact, you better book her for the first state fair show.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. She's got to be down there about 3'8" now, though, doesn't she?
Yeah, she keeps shrinking a little bit.
She's not getting taller.
You love this. Joe asked her what's the secret to a long life, and remember, we all looked at each other when she said, well, no alcohol and lots of fruits and vegetables, and we all kind of gave each other the stare.
I thought she'd say, cakes or something, a nice peach cake.
Lard.
Or something.
A healthy dose of lard.
To preserve yourself.
Nice peach cake.
What a bad food item.
Lard.
Oh, no.
She hit the 100 mark.
That reminds me. You know what I haven't had for a long time that's really good?
Lard.
The old peach upside down cake.
Oh, I love that.
I haven't had one.
I like a nice peach. I love peaches.
I like a peach on a cake. I don't like
But see, you don't like peaches because they squirt.
Yeah, I can't just eat a peach.
But it has to have the marbleized, the coating with it. Then you don't get squirted bad.
Yeah, well, it's upside down too, right? You cut it.
Pineapple?
Then you gotta flip the peach and the pineapple. Yeah. They're on the bottom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then
that's the good part. That's the good part.
You gotta flip them. That's good.
You can get those at like a nice small town festival. You know, they'll usually have like a baking section or whatever. That's where you get the.
You
good.
Just don't.
Let's
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Not
Matt, it's breaking news right now that there is the. Possibility of just calling off the Olympics. Japan virus nightmare weeks before Olympics. Call it all off, question mark?
The doctors over there are in a panic. Yeah, make them call it off. Yep. Yeah. They have invested what?
Billions.
14, 15 billion or something like that in that thing. But what are they? They can't get it under control? Why are...
I don't know.
Why is such a low percentage of that country not vaccinated, I wonder?
I don't know.
I saw that.
Aren't you glad you don't have to cover an Olympics anymore?
Oh, God.
You know what? I used to like them, but they became more and more impossible as access got. I like Barcelona. Lillehammer was great. And
remind me again, what was your lowest moment? Were you on the ski lift? It was
Calgary.
Oh, okay.
Calgary was the first Olympics where they, because of TV, the Winter Olympics, they expanded it to 16 days.
Okay.
But they kept the schedule. They kept the number of sports to what it had been previously. So there were days when there was nothing. And our hockey team... up there, as much fun as they were, the Dave Peterson team, they get beat 9-6 because they didn't play any defense. But, I was riding up the
gondola?
The lift.
Okay.
In a swinging chair with some normal-sized, ballet artistic skier. Who I was interviewing.
Oh, yes, because she...
And with my fat ass in there, trying not to move to cause this thing to fluctuate, because I could see the angle. Cable car collapses, fat writer crushes...
Underweight of Minneapolis sports writer.
crushes skier to death.
Oh, my God.
There was, and I was halfway up and said, even if this works, what am I going to write? You know, I don't know. She must have been local or some damn thing. I don't know.
That's
what.
Hilarious.
Hey, honey, I'm sorry. I landed on you by accident.
Sorry, I landed on you.
There was a pile of snow.
Wow. That was a beauty.
What was the story from the Norway one about the elg?
The wolf? Yeah, Bobby Ford from
From the wolf.
They ran this train up the out of Lillehammer up to where the ski mountain was, right? And the moose were not used to having a train there, and they kept walking, and then they called them elg, E-L-G. Hmm. The moose kept walking into the trains. And so there was a story in a paper that Bob Ford from the Philadelphia Inquirer somehow interpreted that they were putting wolf urine on the tracks to keep the moose away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he called like some official that was quoted in there and went through the interpreter, and he says, "Where do you get the wolf urine?" And the guy says, "From the wolves." I was sitting next to him. We were howling, and we were thinking about this wolf beer party that they have.
Hey, everybody, going to Spindle over here. Yeah,
right. How do you get wolves' urine?
From the wolves. I got to go to the bank.
Okay. All right. Go wild. Let's get him back home.
What the hell? Get another home game.
Get back home for one more.
Nothing like a Monday night 9:30 puck drop.
9:30. God, I wish I was writing that one. That'd be fun. All right. See ya.
All right, gang.
Goodbye.
All right.
EcoFun has e-bikes in stock. And why is that important? Because every other bike retailer is out of stock and will not be getting new e-bikes until December or January. You can't even get one for Christmas from them. The weather is warming up, so if you are in the market for an e-bike, scooter, or ATV, go to EcoFun right now. EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will help you select the e-bike that is right for you, and they will deliver it to your front door in the metro area. Right now, EcoFun has Bentelli e-bikes and Yamaha Motor Assist bikes in stock. EcoFun also carries the full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a wide variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com and tell Tim that old bicycler Patrick Ricey sent you.
This is Reavers once again for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. And Josh has a very basic question for you. Do you know what you own? You see, Mr. Money Talk's clients, and that's Josh Arnold, by the way, they always know what they own. He has found out that most people that he meets with every single day, they have no idea. Josh has seen retirement portfolios that have a big percentage in bonds, and there are real instances of people that are paying more in commissions and fees than they can possibly make on the rate of return that these bonds currently yield. Josh begs of you, know what you own. You see, trust is often overused, and it's even harder to find. Take it from me that you can trust Josh. Give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation with absolutely zero obligation. Call him at 952-925-5608. Once again, that's 952-925-5608 for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold.
This is Patrick Ricey with the Canopy Group. What does dedication, perseverance, resilience, and accomplishment best describe today? The Canopy Group believes it's the graduating classes of 2021. What we are most proud of for these graduates is their ability to overcome challenges in their pursuit of future opportunities. True to their perseverance and resiliency, these students are finding new ways to celebrate their milestones and their success on this journey. It puts a smile on all of our faces as we drive through communities and see dozens and thousands and hundreds of yard signs. It is amazing that what these graduating students have gone through, and they deserve the spotlight, for they are Minnesota's future. Please join the Canopy Group in honoring your friends, relatives, and neighbors who represent the graduating classes of 2021.